Good morning, New Zealand. It's election season, baby. Leave your wisdom at the door. There's someone out there for you that you've been hoping, praying for. Yeah, baby, it is election season. Let me check this out. And get our country back on track. How do you think it got here, National? Oh, man. And then there's Freedom and Rights Coalition, or Freedoms New Zealand, or whatever they're calling themselves now. Sue Gray, Brian Tamaki, they're standing as well. And look at the little bunch of people that they've got standing beside them as well, the other little signatories. And, of course, the Labour Party. What was he saying? We stand for you, or something. Oh, in it for you. Oh, yes, you are indeed. I'll be talking about that in a minute. And this Green Party sign still hasn't been unvandalised. So, who are these parties? What do they allegedly stand for? And why do I say it's election season? Leave your wisdom at the door. Because that's essentially the mood. Whatever would be a good idea, whatever might be wise, whatever might be a legitimate choice and things of that nature, yeah, that's not the voting public's forte, generally speaking. You've got people who are watching too much television and reading too many stuff news articles, and it's concocting this, this rather terrific sensation that they have some kind of freedom, just so long as they agree with everything that the media and the government says. And considering the media works for the government at this point in New Zealand, with the amount of money that the government's pouring into them, and even TV3 now again entering bankruptcy here in New Zealand, is asking the government for a handout. So let's go back in time a little bit. And let's have a look at the Labour and National parties. So, back in the day, we had a Prime Minister, formerly known as the Bookie from Te Puke, and he used to work for the World Bank. And then he became Prime Minister of New Zealand and started implementing globalist policies. Then we had another globalist prime minister who brought about what you might call neoconservatism today, but back then it was about selling state assets and things of that nature and trying to privatize and bring around public-private partnerships, which as Penny Bright famously used to say, God rest her soul, partial privatization is like partial pregnancy. There is no such thing. And what she clued onto is that we have a form of corruption in New Zealand called state capture. Now what that means is the people who are corrupt, the organizations behind it, have their hooks in at the parliamentary level. That means that when the Parliament is passing any legislation, it is either at the behest of the corrupt influences that control New Zealand, or it doesn't pass. You see? They have a complete approval status. So that's why, over the past 15 to 16 years that I've been following politics as somebody who's actually awake to it, there hasn't been, to my mind, a single piece of legislation released by this government, regardless of party or regardless of coalition, that wasn't 100% globalist approved and ultimately detrimental to the nation. So let's think about where we're heading now. If you're voting for the Labour Party, you're voting for the people who deleted your rights to firearms, who censored the internet, and you know, it just seems like a waste of time even talking about stuff on social media these days, because you know, I used to have 65,000 YouTube subscribers before the medical misinformation stuff happened, and I used to be making about $3,000 US a month off of YouTube alone before the demonetization following the Christchurch mosque massacre. So as a broadcaster who basically thrives on being able to have an audience and get donations and things like that for telling the truth, when you're broadcasting live and you've got one person watching, or at most a couple dozen, it becomes a brutal slog to even keep your motivation up. So I hope you guys appreciate that I'm actually even still bothering to do this, because there could be many other things I could be doing with my time other than telling the truth and trying to save humanity. But I don't think anything else is worth it. But then again, if you're trying to tell people the truth and nobody's listening, it's like a tree falling in a forest and nobody hearing it, right? So it's hard for me at the moment, especially talking about politics, because people have got so much hope and so much opinion about this, that, and the other. Hello, Jan. Thank you very much for watching. And they have this belief. Okay, so political parties, they're cults. Okay, in the strictest sense of the words. Hey, Matthew, thank you very much for watching. And the thing about cults is how they treat their cult members forces them through, you know, legitimate means or illegitimate means, to support the cult no matter what, because they have a central doctrine. All right, this is party policy. They have a central leader. This is the party leader, or the party president actually has more power than the party leader. A lot of people don't know that, in terms of legitimizing things that go on inside the party, and the prime minister just becomes sort of like a figurehead. And when we're looking at the system that we have and your choices to vote for, it is a choice between cult A, cult B, and cult all the way out through Z. Okay, every political party is essentially some kind of a cult. Now, does that mean that all cults are bad? Well, inherently, kind of, to a large degree, yeah. It's not good for individuality. It's not good for your intellect. It's not necessarily good for your freedom. I believe the founding fathers of the United States warned against political parties and how they would, over time, cause this kind of phenomenon to happen. So why is it that people still have belief in this system? Well, because the system wants you to. It wants you to have belief in it, because if there's no belief in a cult, if you ask them for the facts and evidence, okay, you're the national party, what have you done that's good for the country? Oh, we've done this, that, and the other, and blah, 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 and it was really, really good, and we increased this much, and we've got blah, blah, and then we found this statistic, and blah, 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 blah. And you find out that it's all bullshit. And so you ask the other party, and they do the exact same thing. And the ability to answer a question straight is simply not in their repertoire. That's why it's so dull and infuriating. Anybody who's actually been to political party meetings or properly listened to and watched Parliament TV, it's not terribly exciting, is it? Because if your drug of choice is truth, like mine, anybody who isn't just laying out the truth, fact by fact, you know, that kind of thing, bores the hell out of you, don't they? And this is the vast majority of political speakers and things of that nature. They're just sitting there like a Belgian waffle, All right, just waffling it on, layering on that frickin' butter and cream and jam, trying to make itself look all nice. And it's just, there's just no substance to it. Like it's gluten-free or something, you know, like, when we look at these parties and the billboards and analyze what they say and analyze what they do, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense unless you understand about intelligence. Intelligence agencies and things of that nature. So here we have Paolo Garcia for Newland and Party Vote National. So how many independents do we have here? They don't even have double-sided billboards. Oh, this is the one I wanted to comment on it for. In it for you. It's like, I love how they twist words, you know? Yeah, they are, because they're coming to get you. Oh, my goodness. The problem with the Labour Party signs is that the colour palette that they've got, the red and white, it's actually one of the most effective, because it's the colour of ripe fruit. This is how they manipulate you and manipulate your senses, because your brain is trained through however many years of experience to look for those things. All right, that's how human beings are coded. And so you can trick the mind, which is often, you know, thinking about food or whatever, to pay attention to things by giving them the right color. Red, yellow, blue as well. And if you look at the, what are they called, fast food restaurants, McDonald's or KFC or Burger King, Subway, whatever, you'll find that they've got one or all of these colors in there, those ripe fruit colors, because it stimulates the appetite, whether or not people actually realize it, and it makes them hungry and then go into Macca's to get themselves a burger. So that kind of advertising politically does work on a fairly strong level. Of course, it's not the be all and end all. You also need media behind you, lots of money to pay off the media to spread your message. And what we have been seeing is a lot of the political party signs and things of that nature are being destroyed. And this happens every election. And there's a lot of hate out there for pretty much all the parties, you know. The Labour Party people hate the National Party people. And the people hate the Freedom and Rights, Freedoms New Zealand. We had a bashed one down the other day. Hey Kush, welcome to the show. So you're seeing a lot of people who aren't really on the legitimate scale of fairness or reason, both running for and sabotaging the abilities of others to run for legitimate office. Now, that being said, is government legitimate? Any government? And I would say that the answer to that is no. And you're like, why, but you know, people elected, okay, just slow down a second. Do you have the right to murder people? No, you don't. Do you have the right to steal from people? No, you don't. Do you have the right to intimidate people? No, you don't. The government has that right, but how did they get it? You didn't have it to give to them, right? The will of the people is the basis of the authority of government, as Penny Bright used to say. And if nobody has the right to do the things that the government currently does and does on a daily basis, stealing your money through taxes and intimidating you if you don't pay them, you know, just for one, how did they get that? All right, the answer is they legitimize themselves. What happens is when, I think Friedrich Bastiat said something along the lines of, when plunder becomes a way of life for a group of men living together in society, they create for themselves in the course of time a system of government that legitimizes it and a moral code that glorifies it. All right? That's what we're dealing with right now. A system of plunder and a moral code of plunder. Right? It's just glorious. They just love it, don't they? Now, across the road here. Now walk underneath those big pine trees. Give you a nice backdrop. Yeah, see, there you go. That was cool. So, when people are arguing about who they're voting for, why they're voting for somebody and why they're not, that sort of thing, it's like a waste of time, I think, to a large degree. Looking at what Ian Wishart said about it, is that it's like arranging deck chairs on the Titanic. If there's no legitimacy to government, because government has rights that no human being actually has to give them, all right, then any participation in an election, to a degree, is morally wrong. All right, and I know this. I've participated in elections, not as a candidate, of course, just helping out little political parties, Legalized Cannabis Party, Advanced New Zealand Party. Done heaps of filming for all sorts of other parties as well, including Winston Peters. But I just don't like the I don't like the fact that government exists just in general. You know, I mean, I'll help you out and run in your election that ain't going to go anywhere or whatever, because, you know, I needed coin at the time to get rid of my debts. And now we're up at this election, and I need coin to get rid of my legal debts from getting arrested in 2021. Still paying that off, bit by bit, and I'm very grateful to all the people who've donated to help us get through that. And we're sitting on, I think, anywhere from 3 to 5 grand worth of legal bills left to pay off. So it's going to take a wee while if we don't get some big cash injections. But I digress. Go to thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. That's Vinny with a Y, because it's the most important question. And Eastwood, like, go ahead, make my news. If you want to make a donation there through the PayPal, Kiwi Bank, or sign up to be a Patreon for my band, Vinny and the Vendettas. So, what have these people done this election? I'm talking about the Freedom people now, that gives them a chance of winning. Nothing. All right. It's as simple as that. It's not possible for any of the Freedom parties to win. The only possible winner who says they're about freedom would be Winston Peters. And Winston is a shrewd politician, okay? He knows where the foment is, you know. He's like Winnie the Pooh. He can smell honey. And he knows exactly what people are pissed off about. And he's using that anger in order to create himself a political movement where he can get back into power. So, in my opinion, although I would like other people to win, even though I don't believe in government, I would like all these little freedom parties to get together, but I know that's not going to happen, because I was involved extensively with Billy TK in the last election, and I saw how much effort he had to go through in order to get other parties and things like that on board, and the troubles he faced there with disagreements and egos and even defamation, false accusations and things like that coming out of political parties against him when he's trying to bring them together for the cause of freedom. And when you're up against the worst criminal element that are possibly demon-possessed, you kind of need you kind of need a united front on that one, guys. You know, it's like Liz Gunn doesn't like Brian Tamaki or whatever. I'm not saying she doesn't. I'm just throwing it out there. Where you could just get them together and just say, hey, Liz. Hey, Brian. Hey, how you doing, Vinny? Yeah. Do you guys want to get enslaved and subsequently exterminated by ruthless criminal sociopathic scumbaggery? And we're like, oh, no. We don't, eh? You know, I'm like, okay, great, we're on the same page. How about we frickin' work together and stop arguing about the side issues, okay? There is one issue. We are slaves, okay? We are slaves, whether or not you like it, because we don't follow what's called universal karmic law or natural law. What does that mean? Well, the one law of the universe is you can't take that which does not belong to you. All right? Quite simple. And the law has built-in consequences. Anytime you lie, cheat, steal, rape, murder, or whatever, you're going to experience consequences. Every time. Now, if you have a justice system, for example, what we do as human beings is we try to give people consequences directly, right? That's a human construct. But unfortunately, because it's a human construct that isn't based upon natural justice or whatever, they can create umpteen little laws that they can bust people for and destroy them with. And that's the way that they usurp authority and usurp power, is by giving themselves this aura of legitimacy which doesn't really exist. There's one authority, it's God, and whatever you think God is, it's the thing that governs all the laws of the universe. You know, the stuff that was true when you were born and the stuff that was true after you die, God created all those, man didn't. All right, now, why do I say that? Am I religious? No, don't like religion either. Don't like government, don't like religion. And the reason I say this is because of what the founding fathers said in the Declaration of Independence about all these rights that you have, you know, freedom, liberty, etc. They're granted by God. The reason why they did that is not for spiritual reasons. It wasn't for religious reasons at all. It was for legal reasons, okay? Let's say man creates a law. Well, another man can unmake it. God creates a law. Can man unmake that? Nope. Not legitimately, and not without consequences from the universe. And I'd be like, oh, Vinny, they haven't... Okay, the Prime Minister of New Zealand and Canada are getting divorced at the moment after spending a few years shilling the worst lies that have killed the most abundant amount of freedom that mankind had basically ever seen in such a short time period globally. All right? Consequences. They come at you sideways. They don't come at you head on. And me personally, I'm in favor of what's known as atonement. You know, if I do something bad, and I have done a number of bad things in my life that I'm not proud of. There's more freedoms in New Zealand. Ugh. Somebody damaged this National Party sign. Green Party sign all the way down there where nobody can see it. Especially because it's green and it camouflages with the grass. And Vision New Zealand and the Freedom and Rights of New Zealand. I mean, is it? I'm sorry, I just think the photography could have been a little bit better for Hannah here. Just personally, from an aesthetic perspective. You know, I think the best way to get photos of people, if you go to the Vinnie Eastwood Show latest page, is to get them to laugh, and while you're taking a video of it, and then taking a screenshot of that video. Because I think getting people in mid-laugh, it just screams fun. You know, you can be rolling down the street and see a picture. What is that? Vote pink, vote rapist? I don't know what that means. Anybody in the chat knows what that means, please give me a shout out. Hello, Susan. Thank you for tuning in. What was I talking about? I forget. Just going down. This is the whole point of the video today, is just to show you the political billboards in this Green Bay area and see if any had been damaged in the night. I mean, I don't know. Who goes out there damaging and vandalizing billboards? I mean, I imagine it's young people, you know? Maybe. Who really understands? Let's take back our country. Sounds an awful lot like the campaign slogan I came up with during the 2020 election, which was Reclaim New Zealand. You know?
We're in it for you, says the Labour Party. We're in it for you.
Yeah, I'm sure you are. That's a bit creepy, bro. Like, oh, man. I really don't like the faces. And I really don't like the personalities either. It's just a terrible freaking thing in this country, man. And one of my listeners let me know the other day is that what's happened is, like, because the culture changed, all those good, legitimate, cool people and what have you that used to be in any kind of position of power or authority in New Zealand have since left their jobs, and the only people to replace them are complete scum, all right? Because they're like, okay, this culture's not for me, man. I don't like bossing people round. I don't like being a commie. I'm getting out of this gig. G'day, Sean. Thanks for tuning in. And so now we're left with, you know, theoretically, all of our major institutions with any kind of power, influence and authority in New Zealand are being run from the top down by people who aren't good people, who maybe aren't even good at their job at all. And so it's very concerning, because how do you correct a problem like that? The Chinese said that a fish rots from the head. And that means that you've got somebody bad in charge, that's what's going to be destroying your society. So what this listener was saying is that we need to get these bad people out of those positions of power and put good people in there, and it'll solve the problem. And I think, you know, let's not beat around the bush here. One size fits all solutions and things of that nature, they don't necessarily work if the systemic problem is not addressed. There's another Freedoms New Zealand sign. It's the only one of theirs down here. And so, again, getting back to natural universal law, karmic law, if people aren't taught that, and if they aren't taught the trivium, you know, at a young age, you know, there's certain laws of the universe, and there's a certain purpose to your life. You're supposed to learn how to figure out fact from fiction by asking the questions who, what, when, where, why, and how. And if the person who you're talking to can't rattle off the answers to all those questions, then you know that they don't know what they're talking about, or they're lying, all right? That's how you determine fact from fiction, is getting the answers to those very basic subset of questions. This is what you learn in sixth form journalism. And Man, they don't even have sixth form anymore, do they? They changed the education system around so much now that ain't nobody getting educated. They're getting indoctrinated. And getting indoctrinated so well that it's a brutal assault on the senses, I think, just looking at what they're teaching kids now about sexuality. Billy TK got me on a show the other night, and he had a bunch of books from the Whangarei Library about the pronoun book, you know, and all of these other things that they're teaching kids about the trans agenda and stuff like that. And of course, to Billy and Christian, that's just a massive affront. And to me, it's just par for the course. This is what they do, man. They go for your kids. They go for your kids' minds. And once the kids are locked in, all right, up to the age of 7, what was it, the Jesuits said, give me the child until the age of 7 and I'll show you the man. Okay? Now that's because for those first 7 years of life, your brain is on record. Okay? Not interpret, not process, record. And all those things you see, if your parents are fighting, swearing, yelling, and not communicating, and being abusive and stuff like that, that's going to show up in your child sooner or later. And after they've reached the age of 7, those lessons will be locked in. They won't be able to change. And this is quite difficult for some people to really get their head around. And Jordan Peterson talked about this too, that once you reach a certain age, if you haven't been socialized, you basically ain't ever going to be socialized until your full brain development is complete. And for males, this is about the age 25. So that means that from that age up until the time their development is completed, that person is dangerous. Okay? And I'm pretty sure you know people and have met people like this who've given you grief in your life, who are just antisocial, dangerous, threatening, aggressive, you know, all the time. It's because they got programmed with it and they can't not do it. And there ain't no changing them back. All right? That's the terrible thing about it, is it doesn't matter how much you try to control yourself or how much wisdom you get imparted, you're still just that child that was on record witnessing all those bad things and replicating them. Okay, so how do you get out of that? I mean, try to be the best parent you can, people say, and these empty platitudes, but it's worse than that. Everything has to come systemic. So you and your life and what you're doing, that's legitimately important on a daily basis regarding everything, all right? All it is that you do on a daily basis is inherently important. And if you're sitting there, like a lot of us do, wasting your time playing video games, watching movies, or even to a large degree, some people in the truth movement have become active, or rather non-active listeners, like a non-active combatant sort of thing. So they know the truth about things, but they don't talk to anybody about it in their own life because they know what's going to happen. They're not going to be listened to, and they're probably going to be called names, and they're going to feel like crap. You know? Perfectly legit, man. I totally understand exactly where you're coming from. Why do you think so many people like myself, went online and stuff like that, so that only the people who actually want to listen, who actually want to hear, who actually want to learn, will come and really look at you, this sort of thing. That's why. Because to be constantly told that you're crazy, you're a conspiracy theorist, that you need to grow up, or that's not a thing, or that's just fantastic, you know, that kind of thing, it really gets you down. And you'd rather not be down, would you? Some people love it, though. They love a fight. Love sitting there arguing with people for hours online, calling people names and stuff. I mean, I used to do that until I realized that there's consequences for it. Number one, the amount of time you've wasted. Number two, how bad and petty it makes you look. And I just, on that basis, in terms of arguing with people online fervently, you know, who've got problems with me, I just don't do it. You know, if you want to argue with me, give me a phone call, all right, or a video messenger call, or something like that, so we can have a proper human discussion. Because if you're a freaking coward who won't answer the phone when somebody you're arguing with gives you a call, then you ain't worth arguing with. Block, scum is gone, thank goodness that's over. But if you have the courage of your convictions to talk to somebody you disagree with for an extended period of time until you can reach some kind of understanding, if not agreement, you know, that's the ideal we try to strive towards. Having difficult conversations while maintaining your cool. That's very important, I think. And that would be great if we had that in politics, if we had very emotionally mature people who were capable of discerning right from wrong action, who really, genuinely want to be a servant to the people and are capable of ingesting a whole bunch of toxicity and scumbaggery, chewing it over and spitting it back out again as something cool and calm and collected. I think that's the reason why Billy was so popular back in the day when he came out during the lockdowns and everything, because he just did it better than anybody else. And he kept his calm and peace in his spirit, you know, that kind of thing, as he says. And that helps people to have faith in you. But of course, if you have 90% of the truth movement calling you a shill, defaming you, not giving you any support and what have you, actively destroying your political party, stealing your database, and falsely reporting you to the Electoral Commission, and that kind of thing, it's a good way to derail somebody, isn't it? Really good way to derail somebody and make them think to themselves, you know what? I was more successful than any other freedom politician in the country's history, with no run-up time, and created the largest party in the shortest time that the country's ever seen. I'm done. Okay? I can just see how people have just tried to kill Billy's spirit there. And he's still fighting, he's still doing his thing, but he doesn't want to do the politics anymore. And I can see why. It was very, very tough for him. It was very, very tough on his family. Excuse me, I just need to unzip my jacket here. It's getting a wee bit warm. Ah, oh, that's better. Oh, And he didn't seem to get the sort of support that I felt kind of at the time he deserved. And he got a hell of a lot more abuse and slander than I feel he deserved as well. And this is what they do to people who are effective, man. And you can already see the stuff, news articles and things of that nature coming out, attacking all the people who are running in these freedom-based political parties. And now Billy's attacking them too. Because he's just over it, mate. And personally, I don't know why. Is it cowardice that I'm not attacking people? I don't know. I think it's just more the fact that my mother used to say it was called the nine-fingered point. Whenever you point a finger at something else, somebody else, and what they're doing wrong, you'll have nine fingers pointed back at you about what you're doing wrong. So my old employer, Conrad at Compass Communications, used to tell me, stick to your knitting, you know? And I was just thinking, that's a pretty old school saying, you know, a sort of thing, and a lot of women might get up in a huff if a man told him that today. But the meaning of the phrase is basically, do what you're good at and focus on it, all right? Don't worry about what anybody else is doing. Don't worry about whether or not you could do it better. If you could do it better, you would be doing it better and you'd be doing it right now, okay? And you'd be too busy doing something good for the world to complain about anybody else and what they may or may not have achieved at the time. You see, that's what I'm talking about. I don't like to whinge and bitch and moan and start big fights online and things like that, because frankly, it's a bit cowardly in my opinion. Like, if I go on my live stream and I say bad things about Billy or Brian Tamaki or Sue Gray or Liz Gunn or Calvin Alp or Hannah Sparrow or anything like that, all it does is stir up a freaking hornet's nest. I prefer to just remain peaceable with people and just be like, you do you. Okay, let me do me. You do you. That's fine. As long as you don't mess with me, we won't have a problem. Don't start none. Won't be none. And there's been very, very few people in the online community, freedom movements and stuff like that, that I've ever legitimately had a problem with enough to actually do anything about it. All right? And of course, that person is called Pete Santilli. And if you go on YouTube and you search up the unauthorized biography of Pete Santilli, that guy stole my guerrilla media platform idea after getting it from me and then ran it into the ground. And while we were trying to expose him for doing this, he sent flying monkeys out after us. So we're getting calls and messages from all sorts of crazies and unhinged, nasty people saying very mean and hurtful and untrue things. Good morning, darling. And I felt that, and I think I interviewed about 50 of his victims. Like, this guy had legitimately abused and stolen his way across the United States Truth Movement. And he's still in operation today. But it took me 3 years of feeling depressed about what he did to me and 3 years of getting abused by his flying monkeys that he's sending out after me and 3 years of him rubbishing me on the radio before I decided I would do something about it. All right, that's how much you have to piss me off for me to even bother doing anything about you. But when I do, Yes, indeedy, son. You're going to see some fireworks. And what happened with Santilli, and I pray that none of you are stupid enough to make me want to do this to you, because it only took me 3 days. All right. We went through his entire life story. Everybody he'd ever screwed over, every bad thing he'd ever done, all the people he'd messed around, and all the things that we could prove. Good morning. Good morning. And we had all the documents. We only put in that little documentary everything that we could prove with proper documents and stuff like that, and recordings and things. So it's just a blow by blow from the start to finish of this guy's adult life of what a piece of crap he was. And after that, he wound up getting himself arrested and charged and spent like 14 months in jail. And we exposed the fact that he was an FBI informant, and people were looking at the video, finding out that he was an FBI informant, and we had the facts that he sent to Daphne Hearns, the former head of cybersecurity in the United States, for Operation Outtruck, where he infiltrated the Truckers' Ride for the Constitution, big protest at that time, the pre-convoy, who were going to go into Washington, D.C. and shut the place down. And they gave him access to their PayPal and their Facebook page and everything like that. And suddenly, all the money out of the PayPal account disappeared. And suddenly, the Facebook page with 200,000 likes was changed to the Pete Santilli Show with 200,000 likes. Just the most brutal sabotage I've ever seen anybody do. But that's what he does to everybody. Everybody. Everybody he comes into contact with, whatever he can take from you, he will. If you trust him, he'll take you, all right? And our efforts to expose him were a bit too late to save the life of Lavoie Finicum. I believe he's a grandfather of 15 children or something like that, trying to stand for freedom. You know, he stood out of the car with his hands up and told the FBI, who were shooting the frickin' vehicle up, to shoot him instead of the woman and Pete Santilli, who was cowardly staying inside the vehicle, of course. And of course, they shot him, you know? And so that's on Pete Santilli. I feel that I did a service to mankind, because when you have somebody who's a genuinely, and in every single circumstance where you can point a finger, a bad person, you've got a moral obligation to expose them. If you can, if you've got the skills, if you've got the know-how and what have you. And do I know things about all the, and I mean all, the people in New Zealand and our truth movement and bad things that they've done that might be indicative of a poor character? Yeah. Yes. I won't tell you what they are and whatnot. The reasons I explained earlier. Because even in the American Revolution, apparently a lot of these leaders hated each other. Like, just downright frickin' hated each other so much, they didn't even want to be in the same room. But they forced themselves to obey their moral principles, where it doesn't matter if I don't personally like this person, I don't like being a slave a hell of a lot more. Alright? I don't like being a slave very much. And so regardless of my personal misgivings about other people in the truth movement, I'm literally willing to let that all slide. You know, Billy's not. Billy calls everybody out on everything that he sees all the time, and you know, he can do him, but that's not what I'm gonna do. So I'd rather work with everybody, kind of thing, rather than slagging them off, whilst at the same time I do understand the legitimate reason to tell the truth, even when people don't want to hear it and stuff like that. This is just my approach, because I've been doing this a very, very long time, and I understand that New Zealand is a tiny place, and that the truth movement here is a quantum of tiny, you know? It's just so small that I could literally throw a stick in the air and it would probably land on some truther who I helped to wake up, or helped to get their first radio show, or did their first interview for, or something like that. You know, I'm the stalwart, I'm the OG, and that's why nobody listens to me anymore, because I've been doing it too long. So everybody knows what they're going to hear, don't they? I don't know. It's just difficult, you know, when you're watching the live streams and stuff, and you realize that nobody's watching. Like, you might have one person watching on a live stream, and that's just freaking hurtful. But in either case, is that boy starting to wake up now? Hey, I've been walking this boy for some time. Very cute Bobo. He's only just starting to open his eyes again, so we're gonna get on our merry way home. How long's this show been going for? I don't know. I've still got 10-20% of battery left, so she'll be right. Good morning! I think I like this kind of format, you know. I get some exercise done, I get some work done simultaneously, get to say hi to some people around the neighborhood. And that boy is just very, very cute. He's been very, very good this ride. So hopefully we'll be able to get him home shortly, and he can be given to his mummy for his milk. He do like it a whole bunch. He's a very cute baby boy. Going down a bit of a hill here. Oh man, what a morning. What a morning. Politics, so freaking crazy. Everybody fighting at each other and tearing each other's throats out over being part of a legitimate system. And I don't see the legitimacy in it. And I frankly, it's difficult for me to really see the point in trying to expose it or even do live streams anymore. Like, I'm actually questioning whether or not I'm doing the right thing anymore, because of the fact that I've got no audience, and it's hurtful, I think. Yeah, I mean, I think maybe I was used to being the only guy doing this for so long, that now that there's like 20 to 30 other options of people to listen to, I'm just not good enough, you know? There's new people with energy. You haven't been browbeaten by the process yet. I remember back in the day when I had so much energy, did 6-hour live streams sometimes, and went out and filmed all the public meetings, and then went home and edited them all, and that kind of thing. Hey, good morning, Ryan. How you doing, bro? And so back in the day, I had so much energy to roll into the truth movement that I could basically sustain the country on the content that I alone was producing. I'd produced 700 videos in 2 years. That's more than a video a day, or almost a video a day. But nowadays, yeah, I'm older. And don't have that energy, don't have that enthusiasm. And so I'm glad to a degree that some people are doing that job that I can't really do anymore. But it does make me feel, frankly, a little bit depressed a lot of the time. If you're doing a broadcast for a living and suddenly nobody's watching at all, or tantamount to nothing, then you lose your motivation for doing it, and you try to look at other things to do with your time and with your life. But the problem is that this has been my life for so long. I don't know how to change. I don't know how to stop talking the truth. I don't know how to stop live streaming. I don't know how to stop giving people a platform to speak their piece when nobody else will. Just plain don't know how to do it. And so it's just a difficult life transition for me at the moment, going from number one to number two to number nothing with no audience in the space of 3 years. You know, from 2019 to 2022, that's all it took to destroy Vinnie Eastwood in every way that matters. And I'm just living in the ashes of my own life and the consequences of telling the truth, of trying to live some kind of meaningful purpose in life. So yeah, guys, it's just, don't know what to do, don't know what to say. It's just the worst feeling to have a purpose, be better at it than anyone, and to have it snatched away from you in a very short period of time. So I think a lot of people have gone through problems like this in their life, and they've gone on to do bigger and better things. So hopefully I'll be one of them and won't be one of those people who burns out and fades away like Kurt Cobain. Well, the rest of the people in the frickin' 27 Club, of course I'm 38, so not young enough yet. Not young enough yet. It was a strange phrase. All right, guys. Well, I need to take a WikiLeak. And if you enjoyed this broadcast and hearing me ramble, please hit the like button and share it around. And please go to thevinnieeastwoodshow.com and check out the latest archives and whatnot, so that we can get some of those people that are on my show a little bit further out there for their benefit, as well as, of course, my own. I just want to be able to have enough money to survive, generally speaking, and we don't really have that at the moment. So any help you can be by going to thevinnieeastwoodshow.com and the clicking on the donate tab there. Give us anything you can through PayPal, KiwiBank, and Patreon. I would very much appreciate it, folks. Because, yeah, it's been a tough, long, lonely, frickin' slog through this process. And I'm very glad that I still have lots of contacts out there in New Zealand and around the world who are willing to give me a platform from time to time after mine have been so viciously destroyed. So yeah, guys, thank you so much for your time, and try not to be down. I know I'm down, so I can't really tell you not to be down, but it's just a process, okay? What goes down must come up, so to speak. And just like if you're in a real happy and wonderful peak period of your time, just remember that that can be snatched away from you. So I think maybe that was my problem, is I didn't realize just how brutally the snatch would be and how big a blow it would be. And I still haven't recovered from it, not emotionally anyway, and certainly not financially or audience-wise, because, yeah, if you spend your 20s and your 30s building something, you'll realize in your late 30s and your early 40s, you don't have the energy to do that stuff anymore. And so generally speaking, a lot of the people get into good positions in this country after they get screwed over. They just can't do it anymore. But I'm still doing it. I'm doing it because it's the right thing to do. Not because I got a big audience, not because I make lots of money, and not because anybody really gives a flying fuck about me. Just because it has to be done. And the more voices that we have doing it, the better. And look at it this way, guys. If you start live streaming today and you have one listener, you are doing better than Vinnie Eastwood. All right? No shit. If you guys can get one listener, you're doing better than me. So go out there, get that listener, ladies and gentlemen. Do one live about anything, and you'll be more successful than me at it. So that's very encouraging, isn't it? We'll catch you later, guys. Thank you so much for watching. I'll give you one last shot of the bubba here. Bubba! Hey, bubba! Didn't love you so much because you're so cute in your blue. It's my baby. Just love him. So cute. All right, guys. Catch you later.